Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the internet. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. Stay tuned for tonight's special report on Doublequake when we come back. You know, under the terms of a contract called the Old Covenant, negotiated by Moses out at Mount Sinai, you and I are entitled to 33 articulable benefits. Benefits such as rain in due season, multiplied gold, silver, herds, flocks, and great wealth. Well, George Bush, our president, has said that what Americans want, though, is jobs, jobs, jobs. But that's not what George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Ben Franklin, Moses, or God had in mind when they wrote our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the Ten Commandments. They all recognized, at least these authorities all recognized, that real wealth is measured in land, cattle, property, gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. It's not measured in jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's because there's no money in employment. The money is in private business. The money is in sales. It's not in public business, and it's certainly not in jobs, jobs, jobs. It's time that you cashed in on your inheritance, and it's time that you learned how to collect these benefits of the Old Covenant contract, and to collect those benefits in gold, silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil. That's called property, instead of credit, debt, usury, inflation, and more worthless paper. Now, if you'd like to learn how to do just that, why don't you call for more information on my CD, Homeschool for Adults, and then while you're at it, order my free general law CD package at the same time. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's informative, and it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. And you can call right now to order yours. The number to call, 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that special general law CD package. Again, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Doublequake. It's a book written by a fellow named David Wiedemeyer. I guess that's the way we pronounce his name, W-I-E-D-E-M-E-R. The thing that caught my attention was that it's a book written for Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife, as opposed to the Warren Buffetts of the world and the big multi-billionaire investors from the Middle East with all the oil revenue. This is a more down-to-earth type book talking about a guy that's got a house, a job, and employment someplace. And we're facing the meltdown of the world's economies, not just the United States, but when this thing goes upside down, it's going to take everybody in the world with it. What do we do? Those of us that are the truck drivers, the carpenters, the plumbers, the electricians, the guys that are down here at the bottom of the pyramid, what's in this thing for us? Surprisingly, as I've said for many, many years, this guy seems to share at least some of my view that opportunity is like rain. Opportunity is everywhere. And last time I mentioned to you that in the Great Depression of the 1920s and 30s, or I should say the 1930s, the 20s were kind of the boom times. And then finally in 1929, at the end of the year, the stock market broke. That was the catalyst that brought on the Great Depression. And he's talking here in this book about a catalyst. It could be a hedge fund someplace. It could be our national debt. It could be a bank failure. It could be something. We don't know what's going to trigger this collapse, but one of these days it's going to happen. And so, you know, after we've made the case for it, we're pretty sure that it's going to happen. The next question is, well, oh my God, what am I going to do about it? I always like to picture myself, you know, back in the olden days, back in the 1920s, was there any warning that the Great Depression of the 1930s was in the offing, say in 1925 or 28 or something on that order? So I related to you a story about an old-timey mentor of mine, my first employer, as a matter of fact, when I was 13, left home, went to work for this old farmer, an old chicken farmer. And he was an old man then, but he told me about his move in 1927 when he sold all of his Transamerica stock, which was against public opinion at the time. You know, everybody thought that this was going to go on forever. Groucho Marx, you know, was invested back in the 1920s in the stock market and lost his shirt, lost nearly everything invested in the market. And he recounted his experience. Well, when I saw his experience, he lost everything, and I saw this old man Harvey, who made a lot of profit off of it. I said, well, sounds like to me that depressions make a lot of money for people. Well, it makes a lot of money for some people. It doesn't make a lot of money for everybody. You know, the unemployment rate was 25%. So for that 25%, it wasn't good. But the good news is 75% were still employed. So when a depression occurs, not everybody's unemployed. Some people are still working. Who are the people and what are the industries that will be working and will be operating? And what should we be investing in now? Should we be investing in the stock market and real estate today in 2007? Or should we be getting out of real estate and out of the stock market and into gold or silver or employments or something else? So this is about a 1 in 20 book. It's called The American Bubble Economy here, America's Bubble Economy by David Wiedemeyer, W-I-E-D-E-M-E-R. And published by Wiley and Sons. About a 1 in 20 read, well worth the 20 or 30 bucks that it'll cost you. You know, some people, he says, think that we already have a gold bubble and that gold prices have reached their peak and are due for a fall. While the volatile gold market will continue to go up and down, the overall trend is most definitely still up, and way up, I might add, once the dollar falls and the rest of the bubbles pop. We think of gold as having two stages of growth over the next several years. The first stage is relatively small but highly profitable. The second very large and very profitable stage comes later, and although we view gold as a long-term investment, meaning the real upside won't start for another 2 to 5 years or more, there will likely continue to be good appreciation in gold in the meantime. Gold has already doubled in value since 2001 in a fairly consistent bull market and could easily again double in the next 5 years. Now, while this increase pales in comparison to the coming growth in gold, doubling in 5 years is really quite good. That's 20% a year, certainly way ahead of stocks and bonds. It's certainly better than the current stock market returns. And by nature, gold always is somewhat volatile, but long-term we see very little downside risk. And of course, the rapidly rising value of gold now and in the future is itself another bubble. Only this bubble is on its way up. So hopping off of a falling bubble and onto a rising bubble will be your key to making huge profits while others take a beating. This is where the huge transfer of wealth that we talked about earlier comes into play. Gold is and will continue to be a rising bubble. So don't watch from the sidelines, write it up. For more insight into why gold is an especially good buy right now, go back to Chapter 6, Gold for People Who Hate Gold. Eventually, many years from now, after the worst impact of the other bursting bubbles have been felt, and after the credit and capital markets stabilize and begin to rebuild, the fat cat gold bubble will rise no more. And like all bubbles, the gold bubble will fall back to earth in the same way that it did back in the early 1980s. But in the meantime, here are your four wealth-building power tools from the gold treasure chest. Gold power tool number one is buy gold bullion bars and coins. The most fun but somewhat more expensive way to buy gold is to buy actual bullion bars or bullion coins, such as the American Eagle or the South African Krugerrand. Coins are 1 ounce, but are also struck in smaller 1/2 ounce and 1/10 ounce amounts. And they're often a bit more expensive than bars, which come in 1 ounce and 10 ounce units. And you can buy these from your local coin shops, where they're a bit more expensive per ounce than buying online. However, there are no posted shipping or insurance charges, and some states may charge a sales tax, or like Maryland requires that you buy at least $1,000 worth of gold in order to be tax exempt. The best way to find a local coin shop is to check your local Yellow Pages. Buying bullion online or by phone may be the best way to buy bullion for many people. Simply type gold bullion into your search bar of your favorite internet search engine and start investigating your options. We've had good luck with a few good vendors. Please visit our website at bubbleeconomy.com for links to gold vendors. One problem with buying gold bullion is storage. You can keep it at home, but for extra security, you might want to store it in a safe deposit box. Even a small box can hold quite a lot of gold. Another problem comes when you want to sell your gold and you have to return to the store for a buy price that's less than the sell price. Let me pause right here and give you a couple of pointers. Oftentimes, some people will come here to the law school and they'll tell me about how they have paid for U.S. gold coins, especially the old ones. These are called numismatic coins, and you pay about a 25% premium. So when you're dealing in numismatic old gold coins and you buy one for, you know, let's say an ounce coin, it could be a $20 double eagle, and it's got a rare date or a mint mark or something like Carson City on it, you're actually buying a lot of blue sky. I follow in the footsteps of Franklin Sanders of the Money Changer, who says that for his money, he wants the most gold that he can get for his dollar. And the most gold that you can get for the dollar is going to be in Canadian maple leaves, South African Krugerrands, or the American Eagles. And take physical possession of your gold rather than leaving in it a safe deposit box which has no privacy. Always remember that, like an apartment, honest to God, do you believe you're the only person who has a key to your apartment? Don't you think that the manager of your apartment building has a key to your apartment? Don't you think that the bank has a key to your safe deposit box and probably has an inventory of everything that's in that box? Safe deposit boxes offer no privacy and they offer very little security. And the reason I say that is because governments are really the bigger thieves than the small petty thieves on the streets or the burglars who don't know what you've got or where you've got it. I'm more concerned about government than I am about burglars. But anyway, let your conscience be your guide. When you call here and you say, well, my God, I paid all this money for this gold and now I want to sell it and they want to give me 25 or 30 or 40% less than I paid for it, I told you up front. People that buy and sell gold for the most part are entrepreneurs, and when they see a virgin in Hollywood come into their store, they take advantage of it. So there are some dealers around. Be very cautious. Put your money on the counter. Walk out with the most gold that you can get for the dollar invested. All right, gold power tool number two. Buy gold from a gold depository. In addition to storage problems and the hassles and cost of buying and selling physical gold, the bigger issue with buying physical gold is you miss out on the considerable advantages of buying gold on margin. For leveraging gold and for ease of ownership of physical gold, we recommend looking at depositories. For our recommendations, please visit our website at americasbubbleeconomy.com. Buy gold for links to gold depositories. Buying gold from a depository means you always keep direct legal ownership of the gold, although not necessarily physical possession of the gold. If the depository went bankrupt, which they put in parentheses is unlikely, the gold would still be yours. As soon as you buy it, they sign legal ownership over to you and deposit it with a separate legal entity. And also, at any time that you can ask for your physical gold to be shipped to you. I'm going to put an arrow right there. Also, at any time, you can ask for your physical gold to be shipped to you. Some depositories allow you to buy gold on margin, putting 30% down and obtaining the rest on credit. That means that you can use, say, $3,000 to buy up to $10,000 worth of gold, or $30,000 to buy $100,000 worth of gold. It's like buying anything on margin. You have to be careful. If the price of gold falls, you have to make up the difference in equity. Plus, you have to pay some other fees. Even in an overall bull market, there can be short-lived reversals. So if you over-leverage, you can be caught in a downdraft in the market. Still, buying physical gold at a reasonable margin can be a great way to grab a ticket to ride on the rising gold bubble. All right, I'm going to put an arrow there, and let me give you my thoughts on buying on margin. Buying on margin is like a bank, you know, that prints money or issues credits on reserves, but they don't have 100% reserves. They have partial reserves. Well, if there's ever a run on the bank, you know, let's be intelligent people. If you've got 10,000 ounces in a depository, and you've pledged 100,000 ounces in payment, as long as 90% of the people don't ask for their gold, everything is fine. But what happens when everybody says, ship me my gold, and they've got 10,000 ounces and they've got 100,000 ounces sold? I mentioned that to you in the last program, that gold is already oversold 15 years into the future. In the best scenario, you might have to wait 15 years to get your gold. Meanwhile, these companies are bankrupt, out of business, and long gone, and so is your money. And remember, it's your labor, it's your life that you converted into the money to start with. For my money, boys and girls, there's just no better way to own gold than to have physical possession of it. Now, if you want to buy on margin, that's the risk that you take when you're buying anything on margin. It's like depositing your money in the bank or buying stocks and bonds. If you want to take that kind of risk, you know, that's your thing in life. But, you know, for an old man like me, I don't like risk, and so I want to have physical possession. You know, I don't want to buy a cow and have my neighbor take care of it for me. When I buy a cow, I want to own the cow, and I want the cow right out here in my pasture. And then I can see her, and I can milk her, and I know what's going on with her. I don't want to get a report from my neighbor someday that, oh, gee, George, I'm sorry to report your cow died last month. When my cow dies, I want her to die in my pasture. So when we take a look here at gold power number two, buy gold from a depository, then right away I got to say, no, I think I'll hang on to mine. Gold ETFs, exchange-traded funds, first came on the scene in the fall of 2005 and are now traded like stock on the New York Stock Exchange under the symbols GLD and IAU. The price of one share of a gold ETF is set at one-tenth the price of an ounce of gold. When gold goes up, gold ETFs go up also. The advantage is that you needn't buy large quantities of gold to get in on the gold action. Unlike stocks, each ETF share is backed by physical gold, and you can even have the physical gold shipped to you if you like. And you can read more about specific ways to buy gold ETFs through links on our website at americasbubbleeconomy.com. Gold ETFs account for more than 300 tons of gold bought by investors as of early 2006. Currently, there are only about 3,500 tons of gold sold each year worldwide for all purposes, including jewelry, industrial, and investment. So that's a very impressive amount of gold, almost 10%. After only 6 months in existence. And also, of interest for some investors, a silver ETF and a combined silver-gold ETF are now also available. Like physical gold, gold ETFs can also be bought on margin. Well, if you've got more money than sense, you know, you might want to buy some of those ETFs, or you might want to buy gold on margin. I wouldn't tell you, you know, that's an ironclad, you ought not to do this, but you want to remember that your God told you not to deal in unjust weights and balances. And if you do and you get burned in the process, well, then, you know, hey, I asked for it and that's what I got. But if you want to take a risk and you want to speculate, you know, you might make a little extra money that way. Take $10,000 and invest it in one of these margin operations. 10 would get you 30 at about one-third, and see what happens. But don't put all of your marbles into one bag. If you lose the bag, you might lose all of your marbles. All right. Let's take a look at number 4. Don't buy stock in gold mining companies. Many investors would rather buy stock than gold, so why not buy stock in companies that mine gold? Well, over the past few years, gold mining stocks have generally performed better than gold itself. However, we don't recommend gold stocks, although they may continue to out-earn gold for the next couple of years. Gold will do far better than gold stocks in the long run. They always have in the past. And when the stock market declines, it'll take gold mining stocks with it. And if you wish to invest in gold stocks to try to catch some better returns than gold itself over the next couple of years, we recommend you buy gold stock funds rather than individual gold stocks, which tend to be somewhat more volatile. So as with stock, you can make money by picking the right company at the right time, but you have to be very careful. Now let's look into your second treasure chest of wealth building power tools. As the dollar bubble falls, the price of the euro will rise dramatically. Euros won't have the same appreciation potential as gold, but they still do very well during the coming bubble quake. So if you're one of those people that's wedded to paper, remember that Warren Buffett, now about 3 or 4 years ago, got out of American-denominated or U.S.-denominated dollars and into euros. Now there's another one that's being recommended by conservative letter writers, and it's called the Swiss franc. Now the Swiss have maintained the value of the Swiss franc for as long as I can remember. In fact, even before we could own gold here in the United States, back in the 50s and 60s, people that had money invested their money in Swiss francs. Or they would hold a gold account, but they would hold it in Switzerland. So they'd ship their dollars to Switzerland, open a gold account, and hold gold in Switzerland, and they would hold Swiss francs in Switzerland. And as far as I know, it's always worked out pretty well. I've never heard anything bad about Swiss francs. Now, many of the newsletter writers are pointing out that the euros over time are going to depreciate, and in fact they are right now. Every time America inflates its currency, the Europeans inflate their currency, but they don't inflate it quite as much. And so the euro has developed a reputation for, and in fact physical, higher appreciation. So when you look on the dollar index, the dollar, which was at $1.20 when the euro was at a dollar, that is 122 versus $1 or 100, it's now reversed. The dollar is down to 80 and the euro is up around, the last time I saw, I thought it was around 132. So the dollar is taking a beating in international currency exchanges while the euro is appreciating. So this guy says, well, why not buy euros? Now, that's up to you. I personally don't get involved in currency speculation, but again, you know, I'm not here to tell you how to live your lives. So as the dollar bubble falls, the price of the euro will rise dramatically. It has already risen dramatically, but the dollar has not really taken its big fall yet. It's going to fall by 50% over what period of time? I don't know. But 50% fall in the dollar is a pretty significant loss, isn't it? It's like taking your house, which is today worth, let's say, $200,000, and it drops in value to $100,000. That's a pretty significant loss, isn't it? That's where we're headed in the real estate markets. Most of the pundits, the conservative newsletter writers, are predicting a 40% fall in real estate values. So if you've got a $100,000 house, it's going to drop to about $60,000, $200,000 house to around $120,000. So you're going to take a hit. If you own that house free and clear, it's not a problem. If you don't own that house free and clear, then you're making payments. Are you always going to have a job? Are you always going to be able to service that debt? Is that debt adjustable rate, and is the mortgage rate going to go up, or the interest rate go up and the mortgage go up, and you won't be able to service it at some time in the future? Those are considerations to be taking right now so that you don't get caught with your pants down in 2 to 5 years. Now, this guy's picking 2 to 5 years. He's a conventional, everyday, garden variety economist. None of the newsletter writers that I read are picking 2 to 5 years. They're picking 2 to 5 months. And they've been doing that for years, and so they've always been wrong, expecting that this thing is going to collapse any day. They've been too early, kind of like the little boy crying wolf. But that doesn't mean the wolf isn't out there, and it doesn't mean the wolf isn't coming. It just means that taint yet. I don't think anybody really knows just yet, save maybe God himself. But for you and I, you know, the local Joe Sixpacks and truck drivers, it would seem like to me that a year too early is better than a day too late. because once the panic sets in, markets go into free fall. Who in the hell wants to buy a house for $200,000 when the thing is in free fall, nobody's buying, and it may go down to $100,000? You know, just sit back and relax. Meanwhile, if you're hanging on to paper money, the paper money is losing value at 10% a year or more, and it's going to go into free fall at some point in time. Who in the hell wants to buy dollars when America goes bankrupt and can't service its debt? That'd be like, if you just remember back here about 5 years ago, the Argentine peso went through that. Once that thing broke, from that point on, nobody wanted to buy Argentine pesos, not until they hit the bottom. And when they hit the bottom, well, then some timid buyers or some professionals maybe got in there and bought up some Argentine pesos. Now, Argentina's economy is on the mend. Their growth rate is around 8% a year or more. And things are getting better in Argentina. And when this thing breaks, things will be getting better in America after it hits the bottom. And that's where the opportunities come into play. The opportunities are at the bottom, not now up near the top. Now, although it'll be a bubble because it'll rise and fall, the euro bubble won't be nearly as dramatic as the gold bubble. To some degree, the rise in value of the euro relative to the dollar is a long-term adjustment to an overvalued dollar. Timing on the euro will be trickier than gold. It hasn't shown the same solid bull market growth that gold has shown. And however, the large imbalance in foreign trade will put continuing pressure on the dollar, and the U.S. Federal Reserve has and will continue to offset that by raising interest rates dramatically. But we can only raise rates for so long without damaging the economy here in the United States. And we have said gold and euros are long-term investments. So now is about as good a time to buy as any time. The euro bubble is a relatively weak bubble compared to recent bubbles. It will also be relatively short-lived, rising against the dollar until long-term exports and imports come into balance. For the industrial world, it's hard to time it perfectly, as even the best of the best, Warren Buffett, has shown. In addition to euros, the Japanese yen may also do well relative to the dollar. However, the euro is much more widely traded, so we're focusing our discussion there. And there are two ways to invest in euros. Euro power tool number one is to buy euro ETFs, and this is by far the easiest way to invest in euros. It is much easier than trying to play the currency future markets, which we don't recommend for people who are not skilled commodities traders. Euro ETFs were introduced to the market in December of 2005, and like gold ETFs, these trade like stocks on the New York Stock Exchange. Its price is set at 100 times the price of a euro in dollars. So if the price of the euro in dollars is, say, 120, each euro ETF share sells for 120. When the value of the dollar falls, the value of the euro in dollar terms goes up, as does the share price of the euro ETF. The big downside of owning euro ETFs is there is no interest paid. The big upside is that euro ETFs can also be bought on margin. And you can find out more about how to buy euro ETFs on our website at americasbubbleeconomy.com. Euro power tool number two, buy the physical euros. And you can also buy physical euros from your bank and hold them in a safe deposit box like gold. This may have some attraction if you only want to hold a small amount or just want to see what a euro looks like. But the best way to invest in a lot of euros is through euro ETFs. And again, the big downside of owning physical euros is they pay no dividends or interest. Euro power tool number three is to buy short-term euro-denominated government bonds. To overcome the problem of not receiving any interest on your euro ETFs or physical euros, you could alternatively invest in euro-denominated government bonds. Don't invest in euro-denominated corporate bonds because there's a risk of loss due to bankruptcy. Stick to government bonds. Short-term euro-denominated government bonds or notes are most easily and most safely purchased through euro government bond mutual funds. And for suggestions of good places to purchase these euro bond funds, just go to our website at americasbubbleeconomy.com. Now, I want to point out that I don't know anything about this outfit, and I'm not recommending them. I'm a reporter, and I'm reporting and reviewing a book that I think has a lot of merit. And as we progress along, I don't think buying euros and letting somebody else hold them for you has a lot of merit. If I was going to buy euros, I'd buy a stack of them and stick them in a hole someplace and watch them go up in value. Now, it's pretty obvious that they're going to go up in value. How much are they going to go up in value, and when should you sell? Now, that's something for you to decide. Personally, I prefer gold and silver, and I want physical possession just like I do a cow. I personally like cows and sheep because I see food shortages coming, and I see there's no better business to be in than food in a famine. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The law, our website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. If you'd like one, just call the Law School and ask for it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate, and that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. And their viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or just call us direct at 417-273-4967. Remember, we are reviewing the book called Bubble Quake. Well, it's not quite Bubble Quake. He uses that term quite a bit. It's called America's Bubble Economy. America's Bubble Economy by David Wiedemeyer, W-I-E-D-E-M-E-R. It's either Wiedemeyer or Wiedemeyer. I don't know exactly how he pronounces that. Published by Wiley & Sons. Probably get a copy of it for about $24.95, I would guess, at Barnes & Noble. Pretty interesting story here. Got a lot of neat information. And neat information in here about Joe Sixpack investors rather than Warren Buffett or Bill Gates type investors. Those guys have billions and don't know what to do with it. And little guys like us maybe have a few thousand dollars. What can we do to pyramid that few thousand bucks into $100,000? Or maybe better yet, how are we going to have enough food to eat and have a roof over our heads? It might make more sense. And I think this guy's got some pretty good ideas. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that we're offering a new class on health and healing, which covers the alternative methods being used to treat such things as cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's disease, and other degenerative diseases, which affect about half of us now here in the United States. It's a class on how to prevent these degenerative diseases and to use the application of essential oils, super nutritional foods. And the class also includes hands-on teaching, paperwork, allergic reaction testing, and training so that you can do it at home, acupressure application and training, so you can find your pressure points and much, much more to contribute to your ongoing good health. This class will be coming on February the 5th through the 9th here in Isabella. If you're interested, give my wife Jackie a call at 417-273-4967. And along with that, I need a source for Indian Black Salve. Any of you listeners out there that might know about Indian Black Salve, especially if it's organic, and it should be organic. My last batch, I'm pretty sure, was irradiated. See if you can come up with a source for me, would you? All right, we're talking about cashing in on chaos. Cashing in on chaos, which is chapter 5 of the book on America's bubble economy. Now, the aftermath investments in emerging markets. There's been a great deal of interest in foreign stocks lately due to their good performance. In fact, almost all foreign markets except Chile's did better than the U.S. stock market in 2005. In many cases, twice as good as the United States. For instance, Japan's stock market performed more than 5 times as well as the U.S. market, rising more than 50%. In 2005. The correction of late spring 2006 put a damper on some of the enthusiasm for these emerging markets, but clearly significant interest remains and significant amounts of money are held in emerging markets. Short term, there may still be some money to be made in foreign stocks, but as in the U.S. stock market, you're playing a risky game. Plenty has been written on how best to invest in these foreign markets, which we will not repeat here. From our point of view, as the bubbles start to pop, foreign markets are not good places to put your money. And unlike the euro, which will go up dramatically as the dollar falls, European and Asian stocks will also dramatically, along with every other stock market around the world during the bubble quake. They will certainly go down. So when the bubbles pop, the old adage will remain true with a vengeance. When America catches cold, the world gets pneumonia. Now, there are emerging markets that are tempting in real estate, and although interest in emerging markets has focused primarily on foreign stock markets, foreign real estate is also worth a brief mention. Real estate in some places, such as India and China, is currently experiencing a boom due to the enormous growth in their economies. As incomes rise, a growing number of people will seek more expensive housing, driving up the price of existing housing and boosting home building. So as we have seen in the United States, a housing boom creates many new jobs, further stimulating the economy. However, as we've said before, when these bubbles pop, China and India will trade in their booming economies for a deep recession, if not depression. And hence, like their stock markets, and perhaps even more so, their real estate values in these countries will dramatically decline. And although there may be some money to be made from the boom before the bubbles burst, timing will be very tricky. And therefore, in general, we find foreign real estate an emerging market to avoid from this point on. Now, commodities in general. Commodities traditionally go down in value when the economy goes down. However, this particular downturn, we think, will be different because of the dramatic fall in the dollar. The low-value dollar makes U.S.-produced commodities low-priced in foreign currencies, even if demand is low in the rest of the world because of the bubble quick. U.S.-produced commodities will often be much lower cost than those produced by other countries because of the low value of the dollar, which is coming in the future. So expect dollar prices for U.S.-produced goods, such as oil, natural gas, coal, lumber, grain, beef, copper, and the like, to be very good. For a while, our exports of such goods will increase, but dampened by the fact that the world is in a deep recession. Exactly how the twin forces of a cheap dollar and a worldwide recession will affect exports the U.S. has produced commodities is a complex issue. One thing is certain, though, dollar prices of U.S. produced commodities will be high. Equally certain is that the world price in non-dollar terms will be quite low due to the worldwide drop in demand due to the worldwide recession. All right, so I'm going to put a little caveat on that. The price of copper, which peaked at about $3.11, last time I looked was at about $2.60. So, well, the price of copper went from about 80 cents up to $3 in about 6 years. Copper is kind of hard to hold on to. It's not a monetary metal per se, although it's used in some metals. It's not, or some monies, it's not a monetary metal. And as a result of that, it's a commodity used to make radiators for automobiles. Well, as radiators, or as the auto industry winds down, less cars are sold, less copper will be used. So while commodities have been good over the last 5 or 6 years, I'm not fully persuaded that commodities are a place to park your money. Now remember, the key here is to get out of the bubbles now and to park your money in cash so that you can come back into the market later and buy cheap. For instance, let's just take an example, real estate. You've got some rental units now and they're worth $200,000 apiece. You sell the rental units at $200,000, take the cash, park it in euros or Swiss francs or gold or silver or something like that. The price goes down to $100,000, you come back into the market with your euros, Swiss francs, your gold or your silver, and you buy the real estate back at the bottom. Real estate's a good investment. If you're enamored by paper, when the stocks go down, you can come back and buy two or three stocks. I pointed that out last time. My old mentor, Russell Harvey, sold his Transamerica stock in 1927, bought it back at $5 a share in 1935, and it was worth $54 a share in 1953 or 4 or 5, along in there, called Bank of America stock at that time. Keep in mind that we've just witnessed this occur in Argentina. Argentina's still there. Argentine people are still there in Argentina. There was a massive transfer of wealth in 2001, 2, and 3. It is now stabilized. The Argentine peso now has a stable value. And the people that are that have collected, that benefited from that massive transfer of wealth, are the people that made money on it. And that was my point, and that's the point of this book. And that is that the people who are losing are going to lose. And there are some people that are going to gain, and I want to be one of those that gains rather than loses. And it's a book written for the little guy. I mean, he talks in here about employment. So in a little bit, we'll get to a thing called employment, and we'll find out, well, what kind of jobs do you think will still be in demand when this thing goes into recession and perhaps even depression? Now, we Americans haven't had a real recession. The last time I can remember a real tough time, you know, in business was about 1979, 80, 81, 82, along in there, about 3 or 4 years. There was one before that, 1968, 69. Then there was another one, which was pretty severe, lasted about 3 or 4 years, from 1972, 3, 4, 5, 6, long in there. Now, these recessions, you know, occur about every 4, 5, 6 years. And so we had one here in 1992, and then we pulled out of that one. We had another one in 2000, and then we pulled out of that one, and now we're facing another one here. And this time, is this going to be the big one? It's kind of like living in California, you know. You feel the earthquake, and you say, oh, my God, is this the big one? And then it passes, and you say, no, this isn't the big one. And then, you know, a couple, 3 months later, here's another earthquake, you know, oh, my God, is this the big one? See, everybody knows that there's a big one coming. We just don't know when. So we're always sitting on the edge of our seats. Well, if you're going to live in an earthquake zone, you need to build to earthquake standards. If you're going to live in Tornado Alley, you need to have a root cellar or a tornado cellar someplace. If you're going to live on the Gulf Coast, you know, where there's hurricanes, you need to make preparations for hurricanes. It's just part and parcel of life, isn't it? Now, for investors, these twin forces will produce a great deal of volatility. Increasingly, a commodities play will become a dollar play. And hence, because of this, the overall trend will be bullish. But this will be very tricky. Commodities are always volatile, and the popping of the bubbles and the impact of the falling dollar will make them even more volatile. This is not a market for the faint of heart. Commodities trading in the bubble quake will be like going from canoeing in a class one rapid to shooting a class five. I got to make an observation here. I had a student one time who was a commodities trader. He told me that about 7 or 8 trades out of 10 lose money. But it's the 2 or 3 trades out of those 10 that make money, that have to make enough, that covers the 7 losses. And he says, you've got to be very disciplined. You've got to have nerves of steel. And you got to know your craft. You got to know your trade. And I'm not one of those. So I just took his advice and I said, you know, unless you want to get into commodities and deal in it on a day-to-day basis and know the ins and outs and then practice your craft, it's probably an area to stay away from. I ran across another guy one time, made millions of dollars in currency trading. And he told me that's another specialty type business. He says, you got to know your craft. If you know currency, and then you measure that against the historical ups and downs in the currency trading pits. He said, you know, making money in currency is just like, you know, falling off of a greased banana peel, going down to Colorado Rapids. And you mean you can't stay on it. But again, it's not for the faint of heart, and it's not for those of us that are truck drivers. And I think we ought to stay out of things like that and stay into something or get into something that's safe to protect our capital during the coming bubble quake. Now, a lot of people have some assets. We mentioned that here a little earlier. You may have a home or two or a rental property or two. Or you may have some art, or you may have some things, you know, like my wife does. She has these antiques. Well, now's the time to unload your antiques up at the top. You're at about the top of the market. Convert that to liquidity. And the key word, liquidity. Could be Swiss francs, could be euros, could be gold, could be silver, could be something else. And you might need a piece of real estate for yourself, especially a subsistence and survival spot. We'll talk a little more about that as we progress along. That's a little more involved, a little more sophisticated. But, you know, when you get to the point where, what am I going to do in downtown Los Angeles when this thing comes unhinged? Downtown Los Angeles, New York, or Philadelphia may not be where you want to be. And when this thing goes upside down, we saw that in Watts and Detroit and the various cities that had these major riots back in the 60s and 70s. You remember that? So you may not want to be in these major metropolitan areas without a place to go to, a place, a safe place, until this thing comes back into equilibrium. Who wants to be in downtown Baghdad today? And you know, this war coming on Baghdad, coming on Iraq, was well publicized prior to the fact. And the coming war with Iran isn't as well publicized as the war with Iraq. But is there any doubt in your mind that war with Iran is inevitable? It's coming, just around the corner. And if I lived in Iran and I was faced with the American Colossus, I think I'd be thinking about getting out of the big cities, maybe even getting out of Iran. Now, commodities, you know, metals such as copper, platinum, and silver, you know, metals such as nickel, zinc, and especially copper have huge industrial demand. And conversely, there is little investment demand for these metals. So as the bubbles begin to burst, the industrial demand for these metals are going to fall precipitously. They're making money today, boys and girls, but when the economy turns south, then these base metal commodities also turn south. So the base metals, these commodities, are not the place to be parking your money, to be coming back into the market at some time in the future. Again, historically, the Swiss francs, and now this new euro, or maybe the Japanese yen, a currency. Now, of course, the big players like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, they're putting their money into euros and Swiss francs and yen. They get into paper. They may have a lot of gold and silver also, I don't know. But I know that they're getting into those three papers, and that's being pretty well publicized. And I would say, you know, even if it's good for Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, it ought to be just about as good for you and me, little guys down here at the bottom. Now, the advice regarding commodity metals is simple. You can play with them for a while, and if you're good or lucky as a trader, you can make some money. But as soon as the bubbles start to pop, get out. When the bubbles pop, worldwide commodity metals prices will fall big time. And again, for U.S.-produced commodities, as the dollar falls, the impact of falling commodity prices is going to be reduced. Silver is a bit of a hybrid. It has some industrial demand, although the traditional demand in photography is falling fast. However, like gold, it also has some investment demand because it has long been used as an alternative store of monetary value, second to gold. And like copper, when the bubbles pop, there will be a big decrease in industrial demand for silver. And there will also be a big drop in demand for silver and jewelry as discretionary spending sharply declines. However, there will likely be some investment demand for silver. In fact, during the early part of 2006, silver outperformed gold. Silver, therefore, will likely do fine during the bubble quake. But the safest bet for the highest likely long-term return in investment metals is still gold. Well, I'm gonna put my arrow right there and point out that the silver is going to go back to 1601. And this is called arbitrage, and I've reported on this a time or two. Half of all of the silver in the world today, half of it resides in India. And while Americans and Canadians and Australians and New Zealanders and Western Europeans poo-poo silver, the other people in the world do not, because silver is poor man's gold. You know, those of us little guys down here that can't afford 10-ounce gold bars can afford to buy silver. And silver is right now undervalued, and it's undervalued by about six times. And yes, in 1979 and 80, when the gold and silver boom peaked, remember 1980, silver was selling at $50 an ounce. So buying silver today at $12 an ounce seems like a pretty good buy to me. So I'm putting my money on silver. You can put your money where you want it. The conservatives all want to buy gold. My broker, Frankie, says gold, gold, gold. He doesn't want anything to do with silver. There's only one guy that advocates silver, and that's Franklin Sanders. Now, remember, Franklin Sanders publishes The Money Changer. Just go to Google or somebody and take a look at Money Changer. And take a look at Franklin Sanders. I think that he's got a lot on the ball. All right, so I'm going to put an arrow here in the margin, remind you that I need a source for black salve. So let me ask you again, anybody out there that knows what black salve is? It's called Indian Black Salve. Give me a call, would you? I need a supply. And then let me remind you that this book here is called America's Bubble Economy, Profit When It Pops, published by Wiley & Sons, written by a fellow by the name of David Wiedemeyer, W-I-E-D-E-M-E-R. Probably get a copy at Barnes & Noble. I recommend it, and that's the book that we're reviewing. We'll be back with more of a review on the bubble quake next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. All right, let me get my paper out here and give you a final reminder that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. And if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement, and the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, we're out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course, so until then. Thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.